Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this morning's reading is, I understood it was beginning from text 136, but on the board is from 137. So I'll read 136 first, and then we'll do the 137 together and then carry on. Hai che shastra kahe karma jnana yoga chaji bhaktye krishna vasahaya bhaktye tanre bhaji Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Translation. The revealed scriptures conclude that one should give up fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, and the mystic yoga system, and instead take to devotional service, by which Krishna can be fully satisfied. Text 137. Nasada yati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadyati mam yogo. Sorry. Na sadayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Any ladies like to chant? Na sadhyayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Naswadhyayastapastyago Yata Bhaktir Mamorjita Asadayati Mam Yogo Naswadhyayastapastyago Yata Bhaktir Mamorjita Na, never, sadayati, causes to remain satisfied, mam, me, yoga, the process of control, na, nor, sankhyam, the process of gaining philosophical knowledge about the Absolute Truth. Dharmaha, such an occupation. Uddhava, my dear Uddhava. Na, nor. Swadhyayaha, study of the Vedas. Tapaha, austerities. Tyagaha, renunciation, acceptance of sannyas or charity. Yata, as much as. Bhaktihi, devotional service. Mama, unto me. Urjita, developed. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism, or an analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. Responsively, please. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism, or an analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This and the following verse are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14, 20-21. The explanation of this verse is given in Adi Leela 17.76. So I'll read through the next verse from the Bhagavatam and then one more verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to get to the Prabhupada's purport. Bhaktyaha mekaya grahya shradayatma priyasatam bhakti punati mannishta swapakan apisambhavat. Being very dear to the devotees and sadhus, I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. This bhakti yoga system, which gradually increases attachment for me, purifies even a human being born among dog eaters. That is to say, everyone can be elevated to the spiritual platform by the process of bhakti yoga. Atta eva bhakti Krishna praptyera upai abhideya balitare sarva shastra gai. The conclusion is that devotional service is the only means for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This system is therefore called abhideya. This is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Purport. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati Yavan yas jasmi tatvataha, tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The aim of life is to get rid of the material conditioning and enter into spiritual existence. Although the Shastras prescribe different methods for different men, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that one ultimately must accept the path of devotional service as the assured path of spiritual advancement. Devotional service to the Lord is the only process actually confirmed by the Lord. Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, Bhagavad Gita 18:66. One must become a devotee if one wants to return home back to Godhead and become eternally blissful. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyachadeshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So because I'm new to Radha Desh, relatively new, been here for about a week now, in preparing for the class I recapped, because I'm not in touch with the flow of the verses and what's been going on in your regular classes. And it was interesting, I found some nice things in recapping the chapter that I thought I might like to share before beginning to comment on these particular verses and purports. The start-off point, I suppose, is Rupa and Sanatan meeting with Lord Chaitanya in Ramakeli. At that time they were in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah as his ministers, government ministers. So meeting Lord Chaitanya, they became inspired to retire from that activity. And Rupa made his arrangement to retire, and Sanatan made a slightly different arrangement. He said that he was sick, and he stayed at home with Brahmins and started to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Nawab, because they were such valuable servants for him, he sent his personal physician round to check up on Sanatan Goswami. And he found that Sanatan's seemingly healthy and enjoying relishing the Bhagavatam with devotees and Brahmins. So he put him in jail. And Sanatan Goswami was languishing in jail for a little while. And then he received a letter from his brother Rupa, encouraging him, giving him some solace. In my service in Newcastle, sometimes I go to jail. There's one town nearby Newcastle in England called Durham, and it's famous for its university and also for its prison, Durham Jail. So occasionally they get a prisoner in there who wants to see a Hindu priest, and then they'll phone up for me and I'll go and visit that person. Oftentimes it's Indian-bodied prisoners who've got some immigration problem, or they went a little bit off the rails, or this or that. So recently I went in to see one prisoner. And it's a very foreboding place to go into a jail, a prison. It's all, you have to have the right identification, you have to have your security papers. It's all very formal. There's many guards, there's big iron gates that are electronically operated. So, and you have to go through several of them before you get actually into the prison. So it's almost like a cast iron confinement. And because of that, it's usually or often very depressing to be a prisoner in jail. They become very despondent, the prisoners. Especially, I think, in modern prisons, they're so overcrowded that they can't give them regular exercise, or they, sometimes they're locked up for 23 hours a day and they get out for 1 hour. So this last time when I went in, this particular gentleman, I could see that he was heavily medicated because of his, you know, they get so depressed that in order for them to get through the experience, the prison doctor prescribed them some antidepressants or some medication. So I was talking to him. He wanted to talk about Ramayana and other things, but I could see that he was very down and like very low on energy, despondent. So that's the tendency for being in prison. And Rupa wanted to help his brother in that condition, so he sent him this letter. And inside the letter he quoted one verse that, where has the Mathura Puri of Yadupati gone? Where has the northern Kosala of Raghupati gone? This world, by contemplation, make the mind strong. This world is not eternal. So in that nice way he was encouraging in that whatever situation we're in this material world, if it's distressing, then it's not going to last. It comes to an end. And beyond that, there's another world, the eternal world, the spiritual world, which is existing, and that's where Krishna goes and where Lord Ram goes to their eternal abode. And we're also invited to go there, to leave the miserable prison of the material world behind and go back to Godhead, back to home. So Sanatan took the inspiration and he decided that he'll bribe the prison guard and get out of prison. So he gave him 7,000 gold coins, and that was enough for the guard. He let him out. And Sanatan travelled with one friend, Ishan, or servant. But Ishan brought some of the gold coins with him, 8 gold coins, unknown to Sanatan. So when they arrived at the first hotel they were going to stay at, the hotel manager was a murderer, a robber. So he decided that he's going to kill them both and take those 8 gold coins for himself. And Sanatan understood that. I think that expression, too much devotion denotes a thief. So he was received very royally and with all compliments, and he suspected that something's wrong. So he asked Ishan, did you bring any coins? And he said, yes, I brought. So he took 7 of those coins and he gave them to the hotel owner, saying that if you can guide us through the forest, then we'll be happy to pay you like this. And the hotel keeper was very happy. He didn't have to get his hands dirty in that sense, and he was happy to guide them on to where they were going. So I think that's a great life lesson in my small attempts to apply that kind of renunciation. We notice that Sanatan, he's becoming more and more renounced as he goes along. First of all, he gives up his job, and then he starts to give away all the money that he earned through his job. And the lesson that I take from it, and which I've sometimes found it very beneficial to apply in my life, is that if somebody wants something off you, then give it to them. Try to give it to them, give it up to them. If you see that somebody wants something off you, then cooperate with them and let them have it. And it makes life a lot easier, because the tendency is to compete. That comes up in these verses. Instead of cooperating with Krishna, we become competitor of Krishna. And that's how we become conditioned souls. But if we learn that cooperative approach, the approach of the devotee, then life can become a lot easier. And Sanatan Goswami, he teaches that in that way. And then finally, when he gets to Varanasi, where he meets with Lord Chaitanya at the house of Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, he also gives up his good clothes. He had one fine chadar that he was wearing. And Lord Chaitanya becomes very satisfied with him by that demonstration of renunciation. That's another thing that I took from that Yadananda Maharaj was saying in his class, that the principle of associating with someone who's expert or someone who's a role model means that just by associating with them, we can learn. it's not just a didactic process or a process of academic exchange, but just by associating with a person who's a role model, who's acharya, who's imbibed certain qualities and certain realizations, then just by that association, we can learn. So the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is like that. And if we can pass the test of the spiritual master or spiritual masters by pleasing them, by satisfying them with our activity, with our behavior, then they'll be very prepared to teach us Krishna consciousness. They'll become inspired to give us the understanding of Krishna consciousness. And that's what we see with Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya became satisfied by his renunciation and by his desire to go to the spiritual world, to achieve Krishna and leave behind the material world. So then he taught him how to do it. He showed him the way, explained the science of the absolute truth to him. According to Abhideya, Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, that scientific approach to explaining the absolute truth. Just like at the moment the Christmas marathon is on, so devotees are going out in concentrated way all over the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So devotees are very compassionate. They want to help other people to understand Krishna consciousness and get the benefits that we have in our life by chanting Hare Krishna and practicing devotional service. But they also understand, as well as being compassionate, that if they can please Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books, then their ability to assimilate those books will be greatly enhanced by the mercy of Prabhupada if he becomes pleased or satisfied. So then Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatan, first from the Sambandha point of view, that as living entities we're the marginal energy of Krishna, and we're supposed to cooperate with Krishna. In that sense, the part and parcel, the marginal energy, we're supposed to cooperate. But when we forget Krishna, we come under the control of his external energy and we become conditioned by that. And that conditioning makes us miserable and we suffer. Because instead of cooperating with Krishna, we become a competitor of Krishna. And there's no competition with Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all of his leelas are littered with the people who tried to compete with him. And they were often great people, big people. So that's one misery. But then the major misery, not just that we can't compete, but the major misery is that we then become separated from Krishna. And Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. He's the source of all happiness. So when we're separated from him, that's the greater misery. We become detached from our source of real happiness, our source of fulfillment, satisfaction. Shishirada Gopinath Lalita Vishakadevi Ki Jai. So we suffer in conditional existence. How does that verse go from Bhagavad Gita? 15:7. Mamevangsho jiva lokeya, jiva bhuta sanatana, manashastan indriyani, prakriti stani karshati. That although we're eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, we're suffering in conditional life because of our association with the six senses, which include the mind. And the antidote for that is what Lord Chaitanya moves on to next, and where we're coming to now with these verses is the Abhideya. The activity of devotional service, engaging in the devotional service of Krishna. And that's our greatest wealth, or treasure, that's how it's described. And Lord Chaitanya, he uses a parable to explain it to Sanatan Goswami, the parable of the astrologer Sarvagya, who visits a poor man at his home, and the poor man's distressed in his poorness. So Sarvagya, he tells him that, why are you distressed? Why are you suffering? That your father's actually a very rich man, but because he died in a different place, then you don't know about the treasure that he's left. So that's also interesting that Krishna, he's in the spiritual world. And because we're in the material world, we don't know about the wealth that we have in our relationship with Krishna, that great treasure. So Sarvajna, he represents the Vedas, the spiritual master and the super soul. He's giving that information that you're actually the children of we're actually the children of a very rich man, Krishna. He's the richest man. He's all opulence is with him. He's all attractive. So why are we suffering? Because we don't know about that relationship. So the Vedas, the spiritual master, the super soul, they're reminding us in that way that we have that relationship, that great treasure. And it's not enough just to know about it, we have to know where it is, how to find it. So Sarvajna, he then tells him that if you look on the if you look on the south side, then you won't find it in there, but what you'll find is that there'll be wasps and drones, and they'll sting you. And there, those wasps and drones, they're like material desires, karma, when we have material desires. Recently, in our place where we live in a on the banks of a river called the River Tyne, in a small holiday chalet. And one tree, there was a heavy storm, and one of the trees got blown down on the edge of our garden. So the farmer whose land it is, he came to cut the rest of the tree off and try to tidy the area up. And he did his best, but it's still a little bit of a mess. So I went in the next day to try and tidy up the loose branches and clear up the leaves and different things like that. And I was pulling out some roots that had been left there, and all of a sudden I felt a sharp pain in my side, like a burning sensation, just a sharp but very intense burning sensation. And I wondered what that was under my coat, so I tried to scratch it away like that. And then I noticed that there was lots of wasps and things starting to fly around my face, and I realized that I'd actually stood on a wasp's nest or a hornet's nest while I was trying to get those roots out, and I got stung. So the only thing to do is to run, even though they're just teeny little guys, but they can cause you a lot of inconvenience. And it doesn't matter what you do, if you stay there, once they've identified you as a enemy, they're going to sting you, and they'll just keep stinging you until you go. So you have to get away, you have to run away. So material desires are like that also. They're never satisfied. It doesn't matter how much we try to fulfill our material desires. We'll always want more and more and more. That's the nature of material desire. So the only thing the only way to get relief is to disengage from them, to get purified, to stop, to detach from material desires, to try to do that. So digging on that south side, the path of karma, karma yoga, isn't going to help us. So Sarvajna, he's reminding him about that. And then on the west side, he says, there's the ghost of jnana. And the ghost of jnana, you won't find the treasure if you dig there. You'll just be freaked out by that ghost. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, na tveva ham jatuna sam na tvam ne me janari pa na chaiva na bhavishyama save vayamataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So the spirit soul is eternal, and Krishna is also eternal. But oftentimes the path of jnana encourages that the spirit soul or the self merges and becomes one without any distinction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So denying that duality, just claiming that it's all one in the ultimate issue. But Krishna's saying, no, it's two. There's the living entity and there's myself. And the relationship between myself and the living entity is essential. So that endeavor to merge is sometimes compared to suicide, spiritual suicide by the acharyas. And we understand that sometimes the result of someone who dies through suicide is that they don't get another gross body. they become a subtle entity or a ghost. So, and the ghost is, one of the tendencies of the ghost is, because the ghost can't get any satisfaction by, it still has material desires, but it's got no facility to try to satisfy those desires, so it wants to haunt some other person who does have that facility, wants to take over their body and try to satisfy its desires in that way. So the people who are on the path of Gyan, they often have a similar fate, in that even though they rise to the platform of Brahman realization and they imagine themselves to be liberated, they have to fall down again to the material world because they don't take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. They've got no shelter. Yenyera vindaksha vimuktamani nastvayasta bhavaira vishuddha buddhaya aruya kritrena parampadam tatam patantya donadrita yushmadangraya. Bhagavatam reminds us like that. So that ghostly life is not recommended either, digging on that side. And then on the north side there's the snake of yoga. The yogis, they're interested in developing mystic cities. They desire to have some to control by developing cities or mystic powers, and whereas the devotees, they're not enchanted, and neither are they afraid of that snake. It's said that Sarvagya tells that snake will devour you; it'll eat you up. So that's not the side to dig on either. But the side to dig on is the eastern side, where there's devotional service, and that's where we'll find the treasure very easily. Just by digging under the surface, we find the treasure of Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna. That's Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So that's the parable that Lord Chaitanya teaches. It reminds me also of a parable that Lord Jesus Christ gives about treasure. And he says that, don't store your treasure in this world where moths can eat it and rust can corrode it away, or thieves can come and steal it. But store your treasure in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world, where there's no rust and no moths and no thieves to steal. And then he says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So that's the teaching that Sarvagya gives also, that the treasure, our actual treasure in life is Krishna, and Krishna's service, and eventually love of Krishna. That's the real treasure. So that's where we should invest our time and energy. And then we come to these verses about Abhideya that we're just reading about, the process of devotional service, the practice of devotional service. And the problem with the other approaches, the path of karma, jnana, and yoga, is that the people who practice them, they can't be peaceful because they're desiring something. Karma yogi desires material satisfaction. The jnani, he wants liberation, and the yogi wants mystic power. But the devotee, he doesn't want anything. He only wants to serve Krishna. He does want something, but he wants to please and serve Krishna. That's his desire. So that's desireless. Like in the Bhagavatam, there's that famous verse, Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whether someone is full of desire, whether they desire liberation, or whether they're free of all desires, if they're intelligent, they'll render service to Krishna, and then in that way all of their desires will be satisfied or fulfilled. And Krishna's all attractive. He's actually also the goal of the karmi, the jnani, and the yogi, because he's Bhagavan. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabjate. He's the culmination of all levels of realization of the absolute truth. So he's all attractive. But the only way to become peaceful is by approaching him directly. If we try to approach him indirectly, then that won't satisfy us. Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richchati. That the people who become peaceful are the people who recognize that Krishna's the recipient of all austerities and sacrifices, the lord of all planets and demigods, and the well-wishing friend in everyone's heart. He's the actual person who can satisfy everybody. Not by independent means, not by trying to control in different ways, but by desiring to be controlled by Krishna. Then we can be satisfied by him within the heart. And so devotees are akinchana. They don't have material desires. And that's possible because as devotees, they're receiving a higher taste. They get whatever the karma yogi's after, or the jnani's after, or the yogi is after. They get that, but they get much more. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavajam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste for sense objects is still there. But if they give up their engagements by experiencing a higher taste, then they can be fixed in their consciousness, they can be satisfied, because they're experiencing the bliss of relating to Krishna, of being with Krishna, of being in the association of Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. And the devotee wants to be controlled by Krishna. And that's also reciprocal. Then Krishna allows himself to be controlled by the devotee. The other day we went for a walk with Kirtidar and my wife Kirtidar. We went for a walk along the roads here. And we came across one street called the Plateau du Soleil. And we thought, somehow we got the idea that let's go along the Plateau du Soleil because it'll be sunny there. So we started to walk up, but as soon as we got to the brow of that hill, the wind just hit us in the face and we decided, no, we're going to turn back. It's not sunny. Somehow we thought that just by calling it the Plateau du Soleil that it should be sunny there. So you can't obviously control like that. But the sun can't be controlled just by naming a place after the sun. But in one sense, we see that the pure devotee, he can control Krishna by, for example, when Srila Prabhupada installed Radha Krishna deities, or one of his followers installs Radha Krishna deities, and they act in pure devotion, and they invite Krishna to come and call Krishna Radha Gopinath or Radha Landanishwara, then Krishna becomes obliged to be present in the form that they invite him to be present in, because he's controlled by the love of his devotees. That reciprocation is going on, ye yatamam prapajyante, that as people surrender to me, I'll reciprocate with them accordingly. So the karma yogis, jnana yogis, and yogi yogis, they don't get that advantage. But the bhakti yogis, they do get it. So when I was approaching these things, I was a little bit doubtful, the subject, because are we saying then that we're automatically better than the karmis and the jnanis and the yogis because we're on the path of bhakti? And it caused me to reflect that actually we're on the path of bhakti, but we can also be practicing it in a way which is mixed with karma and jnana and yoga. And then that kind of practice, until it comes to the pure platform, won't deliver these results. We have to, if we're in that category like myself, then we have to include ourselves along with the karmis and the jnanis and the yogis to some extent. Have to recognize that those difficulties of life are still with us. and that it's the practice of pure devotional service which actually purifies the heart and delivers the kind of results that are mentioned in the scriptures. And then that person is surely above the karmi and the jnani and the yogi in pleasing Krishna and in his realization and also in his experience of ananda or bliss or ecstasy in life, far, far beyond anything that they can experience. But that means being in the fire of devotional service, entering into the fire of devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the commentaries to these Bhagavatam verses, Hridayananda Das Goswami, in his purports, he mentions Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's analogy that just as if you've got gold which is mixed with other metals, if you try to separate the gold out, clean the other metals away, you can't do it by washing with soap and water. You can't clean the gold in that way of its contamination. But it actually has to go in the fire. And then by the heat of the fire, the gold and the other metals can be separated out. And then you get the pure gold. So I was thinking for myself that hopefully one day I would become serious in Krishna consciousness and apply the principles strictly in try to enter into the fire of devotional service and get purified of all those mixtures of karma, jnana and yoga. That's the aspiration that I have. And that's what the practice of Abhideya is about, I think. It's about engaging in the process, applying ourselves to the process of devotional service to become purified, because we want to reach the result of love for Krishna, prayojana. We want to actually reach that condition. We want to give up our conditioned life in material prison house, and we want to go to be with Krishna. That's our faith and our hope, that we can be in Krishna consciousness, become conscious of Krishna, realize the association of Krishna, go to the abode of Krishna ultimately, and love Krishna. So, the conclusion in this verse 139 is that devotional service is the goal, and that's the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Sarva Shastre Gai, that's what all the revealed scriptures say, that devotional service to Krishna is the goal. So one example that I could share from Bhagavad Gita, myself and Kirtita were here to work on our master's modules and dissertation to finish off a master's course with Lampeter University. And she's working on a Bhagavad Gita module at the moment. And her assignment is to talk about Prabhati in the line of Ramanuja and ask whether their conclusion can be justified by the verses of Bhagavad Gita, that Prabhati, or surrender to Krishna, is the point of Bhagavad Gita, the goal of Bhagavad Gita. So in Vedic hermeneutics, or in the interpretation of the Vedas, there's one standard which is applied, eka vakyata, which means that the whatever's at the beginning of a scripture should be consistent with what's at the end of the scripture. And in that way you find out what the main message of the scripture is. And Bhagavad Gita is known as the essence of all the scriptures. So in the Bhagavad Gita begins, it's commonly recognized, when Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichchami tvam dharma samuda cheta yachtrayasya nistitan bruitan meshishyaste hangshari mangtvam prapana. Now I'm confused about my duty, and I've lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So that's the beginning. Then Krishna starts to teach. Just after that point, he starts to teach Arjuna about the soul and so on. And then at the conclusion, Krishna, Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, Krishna requests, Sarva dharman paricha jama mekam sharanam braja ahang tvang sarva pape bhyo moksha ishami ma shuchaha. Surrender. Give up all the other dharmas, the karma, the jnana, the yoga, and just surrender to me. And I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So one of her points will be that yes, surrender is the consistent principle of Bhagavad Gita. It's how the Bhagavad Gita starts and it's also how the Bhagavad Gita finishes. And because Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all scripture, then devotional service to Krishna is the message of all the Vedas. So I think I'd like to stop there. If anyone has any questions or comments or any thoughts that they'd like to share. Thank you. Okay, so let's stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.